is the Power Adulting Podcast, where we are hunting down the experiences, struggles, and golden nuggets of wisdom from our helpful guests. Stay tuned for an exciting weekly adventure that uncovers practical tips, tools, and tactics to get you from stuck in the muck to smashing your way through life's toughest roadblocks.
Happened, interpret, feelings, need. If you're confused with those four words, you won't be by the end of this show, as Elle shares her therapist's four steps to stellar communication. This tried and true model can revolutionize any relationship by stopping fights before they even start. Learn this tip and transform your partner overnight. Be a power helper and subscribe to our podcast for more life hacks just like this first thing on Thursday mornings.
Welcome back to the Power Adulting Podcast. If you have been with us along this journey, we thank you for being here and joining us for season 5, a very reflective season, a little different than our normal approach. We're doing more of a interview style between us and kind of reflecting on 2022 and the many, many lessons that we had smacked in our faces throughout 2022. So last week we talked about grief. The week before we talked about reciprocity and relationships. Before that, we talked about pursuing joy, which I recommend for all of you. Pursue joy in life. You've got one life. Before that, we talked about inner work and how to pour into yourself. Prior to that, we talked about physical health. We talked about nutrition, hormones, sleep. And I shared the week prior to that about my health disaster and all the madness that came with it and just all the things that happened this year. And our first episode that kicked off season 5 was talking about slowing down. So if you missed any of those episodes, just backtrack a little bit. They're only half hour episodes. We're trying to keep it short and sweet for you guys, but we are so grateful that you are here on this journey with us. Today, though, we are still in relationships and we want to talk about communication because communication in relationships is hard.
Yes.
It's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and I've done a lot of hard things. I guess a lot of people have done harder things than me, but still communicating is so challenging because no two humans communicate the same.
That makes me think about the t-shirt that I'm wearing today.
Oh,
did you want to see my t-shirt?
Yes, yeah. Let's see it.
Okay. It says, Papa, like a grandpa, but cooler. So I got thinking about that. So I had to wear this shirt, just thinking about how the Bible talks about raising kids toward their own bent, their own direction, their own personality. Yeah. And it's because no two kids are alike. Yeah. And we're supposed to be respecting everybody for who they are.
And not who we want them to be.
Yeah. Mm. So if you're trying to make every child the same or a spouse the same as somebody who you had respected or a worker the same as you want, you're just doomed to failure on that. So I think just that no two people communicate the same. And Papa has been through and seen kids taught vacation Bible school and youth club with 50 or more students at a time. And every one of them is different. They all have challenges, the beautiful attributes and the quirky quirks.
And now you have influence over now 3-year-olds. So you're really seeing it again. I know it's been 25 plus years since you've seen a child that age because,
right,
you know, we have grown up and moved into our adult lives. And
although you still act like 3-year-olds sometimes.
Yeah. Fair. So yes, that is really exciting. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really challenging because say I've grown up with you my entire life. And so we've learned how to adapt our communication styles to one another. You know,
yes,
we've had, I forgot my age earlier, but I'm pretty sure I'm 27. We've had 27 years to figure out how to communicate with each other. Whereas when you get into a relationship, that's a new connection.
Yes.
It's like infant. It's like trying to connect with an infant pretty much, you know, like it's a new connection and you need to figure out the nuances of them. You need to be patient enough to allow them to figure out your nuances without assuming that they understand everything, because that's never going to work.
Nobody can read anybody else's mind.
As much as I wish my husband could read my mind. And sometimes I think things are so dang obvious that he should be able to read my mind, but he never can. Yeah. And I always let myself down because in my head, I'm thinking, he's going to do this. He knows. Da, 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 da. And unless I am explicit, I'm letting myself down. If I explicitly share what my expectations are, then if I'm let down, it's a two-way street. But if I don't explicitly express my expectations, I'm only letting myself down because he's freaking clueless.
Right. Yeah. And especially with newlyweds, as far as the toughest part is blending two human beings who come from two totally different family environments and to somehow bring those together so they work under one household that's a rarefied air to be able to pull that one off.
I know traditionally it's don't live together before marriage, yada, yada, yada. But Connor was very adamant before we ever got married or engaged. He was like, I will not even consider marrying you until we've lived under the same roof. And we know that, you know, each of us aren't just hiding under these masks. And then it's like, haha, surprise, just kidding. I'm this person that you had no idea. And so I definitely kind of agree now. I mean, it's challenging. But I think living in the same house with a long-term partner is an important step towards marriage because it kind of, when you get married the first year, there are a lot of things that you got to figure out, finances and blah, 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 blah. But if you can eliminate most of those ahead of time, then you can enjoy your first year of marriage. Connor and I have had a great first year of marriage. There have been, you know, some hurdles that we've had to overcome, and I am still learning because I am a flawed human being, but it has been really helpful. And Connor said he was like, yeah, about 6 months into us living together, I knew. And so I'm glad that I was able to give him that security.
Statistically, the numbers don't exactly say the same thing that you're saying, but
you know, get complacent.
Well, and it's real easy to walk away from it at that stage. And part of marriage is it's a covenant between two people that we're going to find a way to make this work till death do us part. So our society is kind of a disposable society. If you're not willing to really put the work in, you know, you live together, this person isn't doing enough for me, and then you walk away. Now, I know you two guys aren't that way, but that's really the idea of a covenant of marriage is we're smart enough human beings that we can make this work. So anyway.
And I think social media for the general population of people who are in relationships can be very toxic on relationships because the comparison game is so easy when you see the highlight reel of everybody else's relationships.
Yeah, the expectations are so high.
And then you're seeing all the flaws in your own and you're like, well, I can just get whoever else I want. And that is true, but you're kind of setting yourself up for this cycle of not putting in the work that's necessary to have a long-term successful relationship if that's what you truly desire.
It's a failure setup is really what it is if you're kind of going in and if the person isn't perfect, bailing out.
And that's the thing. They're not perfect.
Yeah, that's the thing you'll never find. And oftentimes the problem is me.
And that's what I've been really working on. I shared in an earlier episode this season that I have made therapy a priority for me. I have procrastinated a little bit since my insurance lapsed and changed, but therapy has definitely been very beneficial for me because sometimes I have these just blinders on and it's like, as much as I want to be open-minded, I just am so hard fast in my ways. And I'm like, I just don't see it. Like I see it, but I'm also right. And it's like, I understand where you're coming from. You're not wrong. Like I validate what you're saying, but I want to rebuttal And so my communication style is to work through a problem, no matter how many cycles it takes to work through that problem, where it's, we seem like we've solved something, but something else gets brought up and it's like a cycle through an issue.
So you're trying to get it solved the way you want to instead of compromising?
Or? No, I would say I just don't want to leave any stone unturned when it comes to whatever the issue is. And for me, I like to talk through the issue. Even if it feels a little repetitive, I want to feel like I've exhausted it so that I'm happy to move on. Whereas my husband gets very defensive and shuts down in that scenario. And so it's been really challenging because you can't change anybody but yourself, no matter how long you've been with your partner. You could be with them a year or 100 years. It does not matter. You cannot change another person. You can share your feelings with them and you can share what's going on, but you can't change.
You can influence.
Influence, yeah. But you can't expect them to change. There's no, the only person you have control over is yourself.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
And so that's been really, really hard for me. And one example was our chores that we've separated for each other just to make life easier. You know, he does the dishes, I do the laundry. That's just what we've decided on and it works for us. Everybody can do things a little different, but that's what works for us. And he was working really long hours at landscaping. He was working his butt off. He really was. But I did kind of have the expectation that you would do your dishes. That's all I expected of you. I'll do everything else. You do the dishes. And there would be days where he got up late. He wasn't able to do the dishes before work. He would get home from work exhausted because he's physically working in the sun all day and he wouldn't do the dishes right away. And I would get this pent up resentment, anger, frustration from it. And I talked to my mother-in-law, Karen, who is a marriage and family therapist. And yes, there's a conflict of interest there, but she's very, very wise and she's pretty new. Neutral, and I shared my frustrations with her. And she just told me, if you're going to get mad about it, just do it yourself. Don't build resentment. Don't build resentment for any reason. It's not worth building resentment. If it's going to bother you, just do it because then it's going to be done. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to be fuming over it. And funny enough, my husband, he feels guilty when he comes home and his chore has been done. So instead of me nagging at him to be like, which nobody wants to hear, right. Nobody wants to, but you feel entitled to get what you feel you're owed, right? But nobody wants to hear that. I just do it myself. I keep it really quiet. It no longer bothers me. I'm like, whatever, it's done. And it actually ignites fire under him to do his chore so that he doesn't feel that guilt anymore. It's like reverse psychology, but it actually works.
Yeah, you're not really trying to do reverse psychology. No. You're just doing it for your own sanity.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it's that whole, we've talked about it before, my friend has said, you either build up respect or resentment. And so if it's building up resentment, just take care of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and another thing that you said is, so many families, somebody's going to get home earlier. I don't know how many stay-at-home parents we have these days, not as many, but who's ever staying at home or whoever gets home first from work, whichever it is, oftentimes, as soon as, say, the other person walks in the door an hour later or something like that, the first thing, you've been stewing over this thing all day long, and you got all of this ammunition built up, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. Boom, as soon as they walk in the door.
Guilty.
Yeah. We all are guilty that way. Yeah. And I've heard experts say over and over again, just give them time to relax, put their feet up, and then maybe even a little note of awareness. You know, this has been bugging me all day. Maybe later tonight after the kids go to bed or after we watch a movie or...
I try and wait till the weekend, you know, when I know you don't have anything that it would be spending your energy in the same way that a work day does. So I tend to wait. Hey, when you have a free moment on your weekend, could you do this? And that's definitely been a softer approach for me. But that's something that I've learned in married life is communication is really hard and hate getting in fights, but it's always going to come up. There's always going to be something. But not having these assumptions that they can read my mind. I've heard the whole, to assume is to make an ass out of you and me. It's so true and so ridiculous at the same time, but it's very true. And saying what you mean, I have a hard time with fully expressing, maybe because I haven't fully processed what I actually want. You know, there's something inside me that's nagging, something that I want a solution to, and I just want to talk about it. Whereas Connor's more like, just give it to me straight. And I have a hard time with that. And that's been something I've had to work on. And I've been going to a therapist, not only for our marriage communication, for many other things. It's just a small component that has supported me in my own personal growth. And something that she wrote down for me is she told me that the way I speak to him, I don't hear the fact that maybe I'm attacking him a little more than I should. I'm saying things in terms of you, or I'm pointing the finger at him, and that turns his defensive mode on. And so she said, what if we change things a little bit? And instead of saying you this, you that, she gave me a little script that I'm going to read to you. First, she said, so say something happens. Say he doesn't do the dishes and that just gets on my nerves. She says, first tell him this is what happened. So straight up, this is what happened. You didn't do the dishes this morning before work. Number two, this is how I interpreted it. I interpreted it as you not caring about the organization of our house and the amount of effort that I put into organizing our house. Thirdly, this is how I feel. I feel like you are taking me for granted. Four, this is what I need / this is what would make this better. I really need you to communicate with me when you can't do the dishes and let me know that something came up and I will take care of them myself, or I need this to be a practice that you prioritize, or something like that, where you're saying these are all my issues instead of saying they're your issues.
And the last one is kind of the solution.
Kind of that you're supposed to provide them with potential solution that isn't 100% incriminating. You're not supposed to be like, you need to completely change yourself and stop being an a-hole. That's not going to work.
Yes. Okay.
So that was really helpful. We had one scenario that came up after I got this prompt, and he responded so well. He didn't get defensive. He immediately was like, thanks for sharing that. I totally see your perspective. I will work on that.
The third one, it was more how I feel like maybe you aren't as appreciative of the house as I am, or something like that. Instead of you didn't do the dishes, you messed up, and you better change. I feel that I'm not respected.
Exactly. Trying to put it as much on you without saying I have a hard time with that. I'm still working on that. But it was
hard.
First, this is what happened.
So why is that important?
This is what happened, because maybe they don't understand what ticked you off. Mm. Maybe they don't understand that the comment that they made or the lack of action in one area is what pissed you off.
So maybe they don't even see, they're kind of oblivious to 100%. They even did it.
Absolutely. Most people, you have to predict in your head that people are clueless. You can't assume that they understand any bit of what you're saying. You need to assume nothing. You need to assume that they know nothing, that they are completely clueless.
I can see uses for that already now that you mention it. Okay, so the first one.
This is what happened. This is how I interpreted it.
How you interpret, not how you feel, but how you interpret it. Okay.
Number three, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. And number four, this is what I need, or this is what would make this better.
Yes.
And so you're kind of going in this order, because I have a hard time with my emotions get up and I'm not angry, I'm animated. And so I get my everything raises and I'm just
term instead of agitated or angry.
I'm animated. I'm animated. I'm just kind of voice level rises. He gets triggered by that. And these are just things that I'm learning as we go, that he gets triggered by that. And so figuring out what those things are with your partner, it's going to be different for you than it is for me and my husband. But this is something that we've learned along the way, and repetition, things that have kept happening. He shuts down after I get animated like I do, and then nothing gets solved. So by doing it this way, the four steps, this is what happened, this is how I interpreted it, this is how I feel, this is what I need or what would make it better. I'm having to crystallize my ideas first before I present it to him. That's instead of crucial. Just being like, oh, this one looming thing is in the back of my head. I'm just going to ramble on and on and on in my animated tone, and he's going to sink deeper into his hole.
Right.
And then we get nowhere.
Yeah. We're not hearing anything else after that. Yes.
So it's been really valuable talking, say, with a therapist. If you have that kind of access, I would definitely recommend trying to connect with a therapist. Even if it's just individual. Connor hasn't gone to any therapy. It's just been me on my own, because like I said, you can't change anybody else. But if I can work on changing my areas that are flawed because I know that I'm really imperfect, then I can improve our relationship and maybe he'll be inspired to go to therapy on his own.
Yeah, I've heard the statistic before from experts that in a marriage, the marriages that succeed only need one adaptive person. So, you know, you can have hardcore my way or the highway kind of a person, but if one other person is adaptive and able to soften their language, do a better job of understanding the other person, then you can see why that would, the fires would, the level of the flame.
I still think it's a two-way street.
Oh, it's still a two-way street.
I don't want to compromise every time and be right. Like, sure, honey, I'll go with you. Like, I'm hard-headed in my own way.
I wasn't talking about compromise. But somebody who has the skills that you're talking about here.
It's willing to put in the effort to change themselves.
To change themselves and to improve the communication level or skills.
I would totally agree.
So, yeah, no, I'm not implying that, you know, you've got to be the meek, take the compromise.
Because that's not good. That's going to build resentment.
Right.
So, and I guess, so this is what
if you can get... If you can get to where you want to go in a positive way, then how great is that instead of backbiting? So anyway.
I totally agree. Yeah. So it really is when you're having communication issues in a relationship, you need to look at yourself first because the Bible says you could see the log or the speck in another person's eye when you have a log in your own. And it's the whole thing that, you know, you see everybody else's flaws before you see your own. And so going to a therapist and talking with somebody who's unbiased can help you unravel those nuances in your own personality so that you can work on yourself and in turn improve the relationship that you're in.
I love the wisdom of the Bible and the logic in that is, yeah, it's so easy to find fault in others and we rarely see it in ourselves.
Absolutely. And I wanted to share some looking backwards, some reflective episodes that have really made an impact in my life because we've had some amazing women who we've talked to about relationships who are just so insightful. And so I'm only going to share two of them, but we have probably 20 amazing, insightful women who shared some valuable insight into relationships. So check those out. But I wanted to first bring up episode 14 with Caitlin Chio. She shared how being intentional maximizes your relationship. And we hope to build a strong foundation for our future kids so that we can have that strong family connection. And it starts with being intentional with each other. And that's, I've talked in past episodes this season about living more in the moment instead of worrying about the future or stressing about the past, like really being intentional about the moment and put your phone down and spend quality time with that person and just show them your undivided attention. And with all the distractions in this world, it's really, really easy not to do that. But being intentional with your words, being intent by using, say, a strategy like this four-step strategy, being very intentional with your words, being intentional with your actions, just is huge in a relationship.
And she knows a thing or two about it. 7 kids that she's homeschooling.
She has 8, doesn't she now? Didn't they have another one?
Yeah. And her husband kind of said the same. They were both totally on the same page as far as he's, you know, one of his, what do you call it, lecturers, professors at school said, if you just shoot for your marriage being above average, you're going to do fabulous.
I love that.
You know, average is bad statistically. We just want to be above average. And that whole intentionality is.
And that's what we want to be able to demonstrate for our future kids one day. And if we don't start now, we won't have those foundations.
Yeah.
It's a habit. It takes habit to put that phone down. It takes habit to go out of your way to say, think of that person and bring them home dinner, or when your partner brings you home flowers or something kind. Those are intentional thoughts, you know, and that takes really making sure that that's what you're focused on.
And understanding their
totally.
Positive, they.
That's huge because there are 5 love languages, and Connor and I are both diametrically opposed in love languages. And so it's funny that usually the person will give out the love that they want back.
Right.
And so, you know, like if somebody wants words of affirmation, they'll
I'm
be
doing this.
But it doesn't, if words of affirmation don't mean anything to me, they're putting all this energy. They think they're showing you love just for you not to be feeling any love. That's huge. Right. And true. Lastly, I wanted to bring up my episode number 30 with my Aunt Carolyn Baranek. She shared one word in that episode that defines every successful relationship. And I'm not going to share it here because I want you to go listen to that episode. But she has been in a successful marriage for how long? You would know better than I am. A long time.
Yeah. I mean, your mom and I were 30 years and your mom's been going for 20 now?
Almost like 18.
Yeah. And they were married before we even came together. So we're talking
at least 50 years. So this woman knows a thing or two about a success.
My math must be wrong there because they're not old enough to have been in the relationship for 50 years.
It's close. It's something incomprehensible to me.
Shoot. Yeah. Okay.
But so she shares an amazing perspective there with us. And so if you're interested in hearing more about relationships, those are some great resources. Episode 14 and episode 30.
Those were two women. Leonard Simchak is a therapist.
Oh, yes.
Who's also great. I don't remember what episode he was, but anyway, that's okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to find that right now, but yeah, relationships take a lot of work. Friendships take a lot of work. Marriages take even more work. And it's a day in, day out struggle of trying to be your best self for that other person so that hopefully they try and be their best self for you.
Yeah. That reciprocity.
Reciprocity. And being really open and vulnerable with your weaknesses, I think, is important because, say, for me, I get animated when I'm talking. And for me to try and change something like that is hard and takes a lot of time because it's my natural instinct.
Right.
That's just me getting excited. I'm talking about something. And for him, it does the opposite. It like shuts him down. And so being really open and vulnerable and sharing, like, I understand that this is something that triggers you. Like, I see that, but this is something that's like really innate for me. And so how can we work together to find a common ground? Because you understand that this is a weakness of mine. How can we move forward?
It's a weakness to him. It's not necessarily a weakness.
It's a weakness in our relationship. Yes. Communication.
Yes. Yes. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And I think you'd also talked about just the therapist and being able to help each of us because we don't see these things in ourselves. See the forest through the trees. I think I've heard you say before. And we just need help sometimes too.
And it's okay to ask for help. Yeah. You know, like it's so okay. Like if you want to have the most fabulous relationship possible, you need to seek out help. I seek help from almost all older mentors that I have because I know that without other people's wisdom, I would be nothing.
Right.
I would have no insight. I would be so naive and ignorant to all my flaws. And so find a therapist. Take the risk of getting in a relationship, but know that it's going to be hard work. It is not easy. It's going to be a push and pull, and you guys both need to be in it together and ready to do it the long haul if that's what you're into.
Yeah, I hope that's what they're into.
It's worth it. It's amazing.
I think that's what most of us want in a relationship. So we just have to put the effort in.
And find the right person who's willing to do that
right.
as well. But it is so incredible and wonderful when you do find the right person. It is such magic and such joy. And it's a partnership that I've never experienced before and will probably never. So I'm very, very grateful. And I wish that everyone can experience the kind of love that I've been fortunate enough to experience.
I'm with you 100%.
Well, we are wrapping up episode 8 here. Next week, we are going to be diving into careers. We've been continuing with our health, relationship, career, money, but a little more dragged out, a little more deep dive into each of these different areas. We're going to be talking about joyous careers and the reality of starting over while seeking joy. Many of us deal with careers where we're unhappy and we wake up every day and the drudgery that we experience makes us miserable in our entire lives. And so we want to talk about the fact that it's okay to start over and it's okay to seek joy. And if something isn't working for you, there's always another direction that you can.
We talked about joy in episodes 3 and 4 in there. Just just making it joyous. And kind of that's the whole thing of adulting is, although there is uncertainty and
pain
and uncertainty and
constant work.
Yeah. Let's work on getting, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but get some joy in it.
Totally agree.
All right. So, well, we're in agreement that everybody has to be here next week for Joyous Careers. So until that time, better your best you, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Power Adulting Podcast.